going to have her come up here in just a second. Wayne had asked us to do a couple of songs, and we were supposed to sing at the Christmas program last week, and I wasn't able to be here. I want to thank everybody for their thoughts and prayers and concern for my dad when he was in the hospital, and he's home and he's doing a lot better now, and but thank you for that. One silent night in one little town, two needed shelter, but none could be found. They soon found a stable fit for a king. Oh, one little baby. One little manger, one little bed, one loving mother to cradle his head. A head that with thorns would be crowned just for me. Oh, one little baby. One little baby, one perfect plan, one dying savior to raise fallen man. The valley of sin God began to span with one little baby. One shining star from far off was seen. Three wise men came to worship their king, a king on whose kingdom was not earthly ground. Oh, one little baby. Do 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 do. One blessed Savior, one holy Lamb. One sinful world in his tiny hands, the hands he'd stretch out to be nailed to a tree. Oh, one little baby. One little baby, one perfect plan, one dying savior to raise fallen man. Valley of sin, God began to span with one little baby. One little day, upon bended knee, I met this dear Savior at dark Calvary, born for the world to die. Just for me, oh, one little baby. Born for the world to die just for me, oh, one little baby.
Man. Maddie, if she'll come up.
Starts a song. I also want to thank you guys for praying for me while I went to college and everything. It's been a different 4 months, but it's been a really good 4 months, and I owe everything to God and everything he's done for me, because I don't know what I would do without him.
So. Silent night, round the universe.
Well, I appreciate the good songs. Enjoyed them very much. Thankful for what I felt in the service thus far. I know that we might be coming to the preaching part of the service maybe a little bit later than we sometimes do, and so I'll try to keep that in mind and not preach more than an hour. But I do want us to read some scripture together. I want to ask you to turn to Luke chapter 2, and I'd like to read the account in the gospel according to Luke of the Lord Jesus being born into the world. Luke chapter 2. And let's read together with verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Excuse me. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, excuse me, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And I'm going to stop reading there with verse 17. I have a title again today that I'd like to use for the message, and that being, What We Do Know. I want to speak today about some facts that are biblically established, things that particularly concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ that we do know. Maybe not all of them, but some of the things that we do know from what we're told in the Scriptures. And I really don't know, honestly, why that the Lord wanted me to try to bring forth the thoughts that are upon my heart today, but I'll just let Him have His way. In the Bible, neither Mark or John, either one, in their gospel accounts, wrote anything about the birth of the Lord. Only Matthew and Luke, those two gospel accounts, made record of it, and theirs were different, one from another. Now, I didn't say they were contradictory, I said they were different, one from another. Luke, as we've read here, Luke, in his account, he spoke about the shepherds in the field, but he recorded nothing about the wise men, as we heard in Brother Joey's song. And we find in the Gospel of Matthew that he spoke of the wise men who came later, but Matthew recorded nothing concerning the shepherds. And really, honestly, when you take what we have been given in the Bible, and you know, Jesus was the most important person ever born. I mean, nobody has ever been born into the world that has been able to do what He did. He was the only one that could accomplish what He accomplished. You know, he's the most important person that has ever been born and has ever lived. And really, when you think about that, and you think about what the Bible tells us, we really know very little about His life. We don't really have details very much. We do have some, but we don't have a lot of the details in the Scripture concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know, there are some things, and when I pondered this and thought about this, I thought about some things that are found in the 12th chapter of Exodus. But there are some things that we read in the Bible where the Scriptures are very detailed in what they tell us. And there's a couple of things that I thought of as examples, as I said, found in the 12th chapter of Exodus. And if you go there and study that, and I'm not going to go through all that, but if you go read the 12th chapter of Exodus about the Lord establishing the ordinance of the Passover, you're given a lot of detail in that chapter about how that it was to be observed and the elements that were supposed to be used in observing it. We're told in the 12th chapter of Exodus, where the Lord told them that when they observed the Passover, he told them the month that they were to observe the Passover. He told them the day of the month that they were to observe the Passover. He told them and gave them details about exactly how they were supposed to prepare the Passover lamb. He told them, even how that they were in their countenance, how that they were to observe it. And then if you go a little bit further in the book of Exodus, in starting with about chapter 25 and going through chapter 30, about six chapters there, there's great detail about the building of the tabernacle. I mean, even to the point of the very colors that were to be used, different colors of thread and different kinds of cloth and how the dimensions and how the things were to be exactly made. And so there are things in the scriptures, and that's just a couple of examples, but there are things in the Bible where God went to great lengths to inspire holy men of God to be very detailed in the accounts that they gave. But we really know little surrounding the birth of the most important person in the world. And so with that being said, we don't know when that Jesus was born. We don't know. And I want to be able today to show that we have tradition and we have scripture. And we need to be cautious, I believe, to keep both of those in their proper perspective. We need to keep tradition with tradition, and we need to keep scripture with scripture, and we don't need to mix those things up, and we certainly don't need to do what Jesus warned his disciples about what the Pharisees would do, how that they would teach for doctrines the commandments of men or the traditions of men. And so I believe it's very important that we keep these things in their proper place. And so what is so common among us, the common belief of the Lord being born on the date, on December 25th, we just don't know that. You know, I'm sure, and I don't know what it was, and to be honest with you, I've thought about that. I've thought and I've wondered, why didn't God give us more details about the birth of his son, about the most important person to ever be born? Why don't we know more about it? Why don't we have the details that were given in the Passover ordinance or in the building of the tabernacle? And all I know is that God inspired his word to be written the way that he wanted it to be written. And so I do know this, that whatever the reason was, that God had a reason for not doing that. And so we don't have to get caught up in the things that we don't know. We can be thankful to God for the things that we do know and the things that he did tell us concerning his son. And, as I read history and I also realize that there's no history, there's no historical account that has ever been written by men that is as accurate and reliable as Holy Writ, because they are all somewhat biased, and they were not written under the inspiration of God the way that scriptures were. And you can study different historical accounts, and sometimes you just have to seem to be to take who is saying, how many people there are saying one thing opposed to maybe just one person saying something else. But there are differences in those writings, and there are things that vary in those. And so as you read about this, it appears from the pages of history that the date that you know, many people look at as being the time that the day that the Lord Jesus was born into the world, nobody ever wrote anything about it, it seems, or nobody ever mentioned anything about it until about 300 years after that the Lord Jesus had been born. And that was the first time that anybody began to write anything about the day that he was born, because God didn't tell us. He just simply did not tell us. We don't know the month, or we don't know the day. And there are people that have wrote, and honestly, the method that they use for arriving at that, you know, is open. I mean, it's really open for interpretation and open for discussion and debate. And so, you know, when men, I do know this, that oftentimes when men begin to guess, a lot of times men are wrong. A lot of times they're wrong. And so we don't really know. There are some that say, you know, from what the Bible tells us about the shepherds being in the fields at night with their flocks, there are some that say, obviously, it was not a winter month. And so, you see, there are a lot of different things that there have been a lot of different ideas that different people have written about the birth of Christ. And when it was, we don't know. But what we observe and what so many people believe, we need to understand that that is a traditional belief. It's a traditional belief. And I want to say this, that I really enjoy Christmas time. I always have. And I'm talking about the traditions that we have adopted. I enjoy them. And that's been something throughout my life that I have enjoyed. I love to get together with my family. I love the family fellowship that we have. I love to give gifts to my children and my grandchildren. I love to see, especially those little children, I love to see the smiles on their face and how happy it makes them, you know, to receive something. You know, you may find this hard to believe, but I even like it when we get together and have a big meal. I mean, I enjoy these things that we observe, but these are things that we traditionally do. And I want you to think about this. The things that we observe in our traditions. Brightly lit trees. Colorful lights. Packages wrapped in colorful paper. Some of them wrapped so tight, it takes a bowie knife to get them open. I mean, just, you know, very precise in the way they're wrapped and very decorative. And these things that we do, to me, fall way short of depicting the stable scene. It was very, you know, when Christ was born, as we read here, he was born in very meager surroundings, under very poor circumstances, and things were not well lit, and things were not real comfortable. It was harsh to think that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords had to be born where he was at because there was no room for the Lord. There was no room for the couple. There was no room for the woman who was about to give birth to the most important person to ever live. There was no room for them in the inn, and so they had to go to this stable, and the baby was born and had to be laid in a feeding trough, a trough that was used to feed angels, or to feed animals, I mean. And but you know, the angels, when he was born, boy, they just couldn't hold back their praise, could they? I mean, can't you imagine that? I don't know, maybe we really can't imagine it. But the angels, even though they know nothing about his redemptive power, they could not hold back their praise. They just had to come there and approach those shepherds and just say, glory to God. And on earth, peace, goodwill to men. We've got good news for you. We've got some great news for you. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And they went there, and the Bible doesn't say anything about them going there and finding him in a place that was all lit up with decorative lights and flashing lights and neon lights and all of these things. He was lying there in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. It's hard to be it's hard to see people, or it's hard to maybe be someone that is rushing through the mall. I'll tell you what, whoever called that shopping day Black Friday, they hit it right on the head. I stay home and hide. I mean, people are just out in force. And you know, think about it. Rushing through the malls with your handful of credit cards, perhaps, or a big wad of cash in your pocket, and you're rushing through the malls, and you're dodging the people, and you're trying to buy everything you can buy, and you're buying all these gifts, and you're saying, Jesus is the reason for the season. Well, those don't go together very well, do they? That's the difference between tradition and what God's Word tells us. Or maybe driving down the road, you know, in all the traffic. I'll tell you what, you can't hardly get down the main roads. You can't get past the mall, can you? You know, people just driving crazy down through there and honking their horn at each other. Get out of the way! Don't you know that Jesus is the reason for the season? Doesn't go together, does it? If we're going to really, and when we are going to really observe the truth about the birth of the Lord, we've got to do it according to this. Because all those other things have been made up by men. We made them up. I already told you, I enjoy the things we do, but they really have nothing to do with Jesus coming into the world. He came here. Boy, I'm glad that he was born. You know, when I was born into the world, I believe that, you know, my parents were probably happy. I hope so. You know, when you were born into the world, your parents, no doubt, had joy that God had blessed them with a child. Your name was recorded You know, you probably, most of you here probably have a certificate that tells when you were born, the month, the date, the time that you were born. You were born, many of you, not all of you, I'm sure that some of you here perhaps were maybe born at home, but many were born in a hospital somewhere where there was doctors and nurses there to help in comfortable surroundings. We were born, you know, the way that we were born, as far as the surroundings that we were born in, were far above that which the Lord Jesus was born into. But I'm going to tell you, when I was born into the world, the angels did not appear and praise the fact that I was being born. But they did with Jesus, didn't they? There were not shepherds in their field watching their sheep, and the angels didn't appear to them and say, "I got good news for you. Jerry Miller was just born." No. But boy, they had to talk about Jesus, didn't they? They had to come and proclaim his birth. That ought to tell us something. That ought to tell us how important that he truly was. Glad that he came. I'm glad that he was born, and I'm thankful for the reason why he was born. He came here. You know, we have our beautiful children born to us, and we have anticipation and expectations of them living and doing things. Jesus was born to die. He was born for the purpose of dying for our sins. He came forth into the world for that very reason, to give his life a ransom for our sins. He died for you. He died for me. He died for all mankind. If he hadn't been born, he couldn't have done that. He couldn't have done it. I'm thankful that he came. Thankful to God that he came and that he accomplished what he did while he was here. He didn't spend very much time among the human family. His life on earth was short. You know, the age that Christ was when he died, if somebody in our day dies at that age, we talk about how young that person died. He didn't live very many years on the earth. But the Bible tells us that while he was here, the things he did, if they were all written down, the world, John said, I suppose the world couldn't even contain the books that it would take to record them all. Are you glad today that he came? Are you thankful that he came? I'll tell you what, I love my children, and I know you love your children. But Jesus, when he was born, he was more important than my children. He's more important than your children. But he died for all of them. He gave his life for all of us. I hope that you all have a wonderful Christmas. I hope that you have a wonderful time with your family, wonderful fellowship. I truly do. But as I said, when we talk about the Lord being the reason, if we're going to really, in our hearts and in our lives, if we're going to really honor that and uphold that, we got to do it according to this. We've got to observe it and remember it the way that it happened. The truth about it. You know, he wasn't born in a king's family. He wasn't born into royal conditions. And he didn't live that way either. He spent his time on earth mostly among common people. But he died for everybody. If you're here today and lost, he died for you so that you could be saved. And I wish you all a wonderful, happy, Merry Christmas. And I want to again ask you to come back to the service tonight. Come back and support Brother Ralph. Thank you for your attention today.